Well, good evening. It's good to be here in God's house this Wednesday evening. Glad to see all of you here. Had a wonderful week in the Lord already. Printing over at the print shop went real well Monday and Tuesday. We was able to print over 50,000 pieces of John and Roman Chinese portions. It's over 50,000 and ran smooth as buttermilk. I'm telling you, it was smooth. Or smooth as molasses. Better smooth as molasses, huh? But we had a good day, and we was going to print 4,000, just simply 4,000 Vietnamese John and Romans today, Brother Chase and I. And a few more was going to come help, Clay and Benji. And you would have thought we were skinning cats. It just went difficult. Just 4,000. 50,000 went fine. And so Brother Chase and I, about noon, we said, let's hang up our hat for today because we are not getting anywhere. But y'all pray, because maybe tomorrow we'll be able to get back in there and just want a small portion, 4,000, and Lord's well able. He proved himself strong. Monday and Tuesday, we did over 50,000. And over 50,000 with a 0.3% waste. We kept up with it. But we tried to get 4,000 of the other Vietnamese John and Romans, and I tell you, it was like we had, you'd have thought we had never been in that shop before in our life. Brother Dwayne just was shaking his head and scratching what Harry had left, and poor guy felt bad for him. It was a little frustrating. So y'all pray about that. But boy, I tell you, the Lord showed himself strong. I really thank all of y'all that was able to come by and help on Monday and Tuesday. What a blessing that was. And then being able to help us with that. I'm glad that all of you are here. And I'm glad school started back. Get to fight all the bus traffic early in the morning. And kids waiting outside, buses stopping, parents trying to get them back. Just a lot of extra traffic now. Just enjoy it. What a blessing it is to have traffic. We could all be riding around horse and buggies. 1 Corinthians this evening. We're going to get back into our study of 1 Corinthians. I know we had the introductory two Wednesdays ago, and we actually went all the way back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 18, and got our introductory. Remember, Corinth was a very wicked city. It was a merchant type city with seafarers. Had three different ports that things would come in and out. Up until the 1800s, they actually drug boats across land. They got them like a little old railroad system that they would pull up there and hook up to the boat and pull it out of the water and pull it all the way across that peninsula and drop it back in on the other side until they dug them out a canal. And I tell you, it's a narrow canal. I've been there and looked over it many times and walked across the bridge they're headed. You can actually see the shovel marks still in the dirt where they dug. I mean, it's deep, a deep canal they dug across there. And dug it across, and now the ships just cut across that canal. So when that happened, just imagine how many more ships would come in and out of there. So it was a wicked city, as you can imagine there. But yet the Lord God gave grace, and a church was planted there after 18 months of labor and toil by the Apostle Paul. Now, understand, 1 Corinthians was a letter written to the church at Corinth as a letter to correct the many sins that was in the church. Now, what had happened was, because of the wickedness of the city there and folks getting saved, you know, when you got saved, you had all kind of stuff wrong with you to begin with. Well, how do you know that? Well, you were a sinner. Well, what happened after you got saved? You was a sinner saved by grace. and the Holy Spirit of God had begun to work through you and in you and knock off those rough corners. And I don't know about you, but in my lifetime, those rough corners hadn't come off so easy. I'm telling you, sometimes God has to really get those spiritual chisel out and begin to chisel away pretty hard at some things and habits and fleshly desires that I had. God still has to knock them off every now and then. You can see, you look at your Christian life as you're walking along. We're supposed to worship God in spirit and truth. And sometimes the spirit is quickened. We press him down with the cares of this world. Sometimes we look at truth, the Word of God, and we say, well, you know, Lord, that's just a little too tough this week, and I'm not going to abide by it. Ever gotten that fix? You know, if you're as honest, you'd say, yeah, Pastor, I did. I won't ask you to raise your hand. God knows your heart better than I do, and God lives with you. If you're His, I mean, He's with you day and night. Day and night. It's awful easy sometimes. Look at the old speck in somebody else's eye and forget about that beam poking out ours. Well, this letter was written to the church at Corinth. And I'm telling you, every chapter has a rebuke in it for some sort of sin that the church of Corinth was guilty. Now, when I speak of the church of Corinth, I'm not talking about the walls there. I'm talking about its membership, its people. In every chapter, there is a rebuke there for it. But praise God for 2 Corinthians. Boy, when we get around over there, the Lord leads that away. And when we finish 1 Corinthians, we get over into 2 Corinthians. Boy, you're going to see the blessings it was for the church of Corinth to submit themselves to the will of God. So let's start reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 9 this evening, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we'll be breaking it up as we go along. We may get past number 9 tonight. We may not. We may get all the way down to verse number 19. Who knows? But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, we'll read down to verse number 9 to get started. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We read verses 1 through 9. And I want to ask one of these teenage that's here, has got a Bible. I hope all of you got your Bible with you. Count up and tell me how many times you see the word Christ in those 9 verses that we read. Now, you adults, you be careful to pass that piece of paper around with the food. We're trying to get some food for Friday night. Somebody saw it yet? It's up here. Somebody take that back there to them, if you wouldn't mind. Brother Mike's got it. Let them other ladies see that. That's for the movie night. Clay says he's got a number for me. That's for the movie night. And there should be some items on there we're asking you to give and bring and then buy back from the youth. There would be about 6:30. Sister Donna, Brother Lee got us a movie this time. It's called The Unconditional. I previewed it today. And I tell you, it was a good one. and you will enjoy it. So I hope that all of you are here Friday night. We'll gather up about 6:30. We'll start the movie a little bit over in the Granny Ward Fellowship Hall. We'll start the movie a little bit before 7, and they'll be fixing the spaghetti at $6 a plate, all you can eat, $6 all you can eat while it lasts. Adult, $3 children, all you can eat. You can't beat that, $6 in a movie, or $3 in a movie. It's pretty good thing there. So y'all pass that around, make sure we get all that filled in. That'll be Friday night, starting at 6:30. Youth, be ready to serve, okay? Clay, how many did you count? Huh? You counted 10. Justin, how many you counted? 9. Drew, how many? 9. How many? 9? Everybody count 9? Okay, I believe it was 9. That's what I counted up one of there. But I thought, well, that was amazing. When I was reading it the last time coming through here, in 9 verses, we see 9 times the word Christ. Now, I'm telling you, in all these verses that we read, it's talking about apostleship. Verse 1, what did it say? Paul to be an apostle. We talked about sanctification. Look at verse 2, the middle part there. To them that are sanctified. There it talked about grace in these verses. It talked about peace. There it talked about testimony, and it talked about... Isn't it amazing that Christ would, in this here book, the first 9 verses would be linked to apostleship, sanctification, grace, peace, testimony, and fellowship. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, Christ ought to be linked to everything in our life. I mean, everything. Sometimes we get to be thinking that, hey, 9 o'clock in the morning at brunch with our friends, Christ shouldn't be. Oh, dear friend, yes, Christ should be there too. 11 o'clock at night when we're watching the evening news, there, the fellowship with our family. Hey, Christ ought to be linked to everything in our life. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Hey, I'm telling you, Christ should be linked there. And Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, here in chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, he let it be known where he stand. He stood with Christ. Man with Christ can accomplish everything. Without Christ, dear friend, we can do absolutely nothing. We stand in vain is where we stand. Paul should understand that, dear friend, because 18 months in a wicked city of Corinth and being around all those folks, he could still look and say, hey, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. All about Him. This here begins in chapter number 1 with our spiritual standing is with and in Christ Jesus. Look what he said there in verses 1 through 3. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. I'm going to tell you, they were sanctified and called there. They had a testimony of that there. And Paul's description of the whole thing was found in verse number 2. It was unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. He was looking at a group of baptized together believers assembled, willing to propagate and to live out Christ Jesus in their community. Hey, listen, we're wasting our time if we're not wanting to live out Christ Jesus. You're wasting your time. Hey, church is all about Jesus. It was Christ who died and gave Himself on that cross. It was Christ that sanctified us. Wasn't you and I. Wasn't nothing we could present to God that was even close enough for us to be accepted. But we are accepted in the Beloved. Not because of our ability, not because of where we live or who we live with, but because of what Christ did in us and through us and sanctifying us because of His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Look what he said there in verse number 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. We could say this, unto the church of God, which is at Boggy Creek, Lock Haven Baptist Church, to them, because this here book is applicable to us. It's written to the church at Corinth, but we get all that we get for the church epistles out of the epistles written by the Apostle Paul and throughout the New Testament. All of it is applicable to a local New Testament church even today. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Not in our building, not in our congregational ability to sing hymns, sing specials, to reach out into our community, feed the elders, or to mow the grass for the seniors, or to have a soup line. But hey, we are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. That's our position. Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. What are saints supposed to do? Live like Christ. Do we always do it? No, not at all. Matter of fact, if I was to put a little tally up on my life and to look at my own life throughout the year, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, if it was all tallied up, I'd probably be a miserable, miserable saint in the sight of mankind for the majority of a whole year. But thank be to God that He looks down from heaven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, that's my child, and he's a saint in my eyes. Not because of what he does or what he can't do, but because of who he's trusted in, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, hey, you're sanctified in Christ, called to be saints there. With all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. I duly trusted, wholly trust this evening, dear friend, that you can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because He is your Lord. Not because He's your mama's Lord, or He's your daddy's Lord, or He's your wife's Lord, or He's your husband's Lord, or because He was grandma's Lord, but because you know Him, and He is your Lord and Savior. Paul said, call on Him. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is sanctified and called to be a saint. Now, it's up to you and I to do something with it. We're called to do that. We were saved to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, whether we let ourselves be conformed or not, we'll give an account for that. It's your choice. Aren't you thankful that we're not just driven by robots? Aren't you thankful that God doesn't sit in heaven with a taser? And as we walking through life and all of a sudden somebody cuts out in front of us and we get a bad attitude about it, God's... Aren't you thankful? Boy, I'm going to tell you, many of us come to church, boy, it'd look like chicken pox on us. As we'd be tased so many times a day, wouldn't it? I'll just be honest with you. You get foul with your husband, you get foul with your wife, you get foul in your heart, even if it isn't outward. Many times it's all that's hidden inward, ain't it? You get foul at your children. You get foul at the government. Hey, you get foul towards the school board. You get foul towards the teacher. It just keeps going. You get foul in the grocery line. You stand there with a full carton full of groceries, and you're mad because the line ain't moving quite fast enough. Hey, I'm telling you, if God was standing up there with a taser, every time we got upset, every time we had a bad attitude, we'd come to church. We wouldn't be able to sit down, would we? Backside be burnt up. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, dear friend. Thank the Lord for verse number 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I need grace. I need grace because the grace brings peace, dear friend. I don't know about you, but sometimes you think about this. You got a wife. You got 6 kids at home. You got 2 kids away and 2 in-law kids. You got 6 chickens and 2 ducks, 2 goats, 3 dogs, and 3 cats. 2 vehicles. I'm telling you, you need peace sometimes. You just step back and say, Lord, help. I can understand what Paul said. I'm perplexed from every side, from within and from without. Oh, thank God for grace. Well, it's the grace of God that works peace in our life. And we need grace. And as much as I need grace, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, Sister Irene, I need to extend grace, don't I? Brother Fred, no, I need to give grace. Because if I extend the same grace that's been extended to me, dear friend, I'm telling you, God will make even my enemies at peace with me. Oh, I thank God that, hey, verse number 3, that God gives grace and peace. And He meets that need in the darkest hour of grace, and He just seasons our life with grace. Well, preacher, it don't always seem like that. It's because we're not lining our life up with the Bible. It's because we're not lining our life up with the likeness of Christ. Hey, let me tell you, dear friend, God's grace is there for all to enjoy. But when we refuse to enjoy grace and take up strife and contention, it's your choice. I can have grace or peace, strive for contention. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I like making up. That's the best part of fighting. The best part is making up. But I sure like it. A little sweetness on top of grace. A little sweetness on top of peace. It's always good that way. Justin, what did old Phil say? Now we're cooking with what? Peanut oil. Justin likes the Duck Dynasty, I tell you. Him and they love it. Him and Clay and Benji, they enjoy it. Last week they said I said something about happy, happy, happy. I'm going to tell you, grace and peace with God makes you happy. Makes your life happy. Verse 4, he said, I thank my God always on your behalf. When's the last time you thank God for somebody else? Paul's up. Listen, this church has contention, strifes, envies, divisions, heresies. You'll see it. Matter of fact, we started a study on Sunday school Sunday morning in here with the men on spiritual gifts, and we went through this. Hey, there's a lot of problems here at the church of Corinth, but Paul said, I thank my God on your behalf. When's the last time you said, Lord, thank you on behalf of Brother Lee? Thank you on behalf of Sister Stephanie. When's the last time you said, thank you, Lord, on their, for what? For what reason? Says it, verse number 4, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, because of them and on their behalf. Why? Because you've extended grace upon me. Hey, you and I didn't deserve grace. Not one bit whatsoever did we deserve grace. Not only did He give them grace, but according to verse number 5, He enriched them. And He enriched you and I. That in everything ye are enriched by Him. Dear friend, you ain't been robbed by God one moment. You've been blessed beyond measure. Enriched. That means that you, oh preacher, you ain't looked down in my wallet or bank account later. Hey, that's your problem. You're always thinking materialistically. Why don't you think spiritually for a moment? We need to look inward and see what God has done inwardly and see what He wants to do continually. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all good, all inward. The fruit of the Spirit is not materialistic gain, dear friend. But if you allow God to work in you and through you and out of you, dear friend. I'm telling you, He's able and well able to set a table before you that you cannot even imagine. Hey, just think about heaven for a moment. The Bible says, I have not seen, ear not even heard, the half. The half. Imagine your life without Christ, dear friend. Look around at the trouble. Hey, you want to see a country that has forsaken God? All these so-called third world countries, dear friend, you know what the problem is? They forsook God. Hey, do you understand something that the history teaches that James went to India? What did they do with him over there? Martyred him, dear friend. Hey, we are living on the blessings of people who put God first. We're not great in America because we were a newfound country. We're great in America because of people put God first. All nations forget God shall be turned into hell. Hey, dear friend, we've been enriched. Enriched greatly. Verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Aren't you thankful for the evidence of Christ in your life? That there is in envies and strifes and contentions and heresies and seditions and all that, there was a testimony of Christ in the life of those people at Corinth. Perfect by no means. Problems galore. But aren't you thankful for our church that there are problems in? That means that there are folks coming in that are having those difficulties. Listen, not being overriding and overtaking our church, but it is a fact that we of growth of newborn babes in Christ. And newborn babes have problems. And we, which are mature and complete in the Lord and are walking closer with the Lord, are to train and disciple them and show them that, hey, they too can have victory over that same stuff. Oh, I'm thankful that there's a testimony in our church for Christ. Verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift. Do you understand what that is saying? Second, you know the statement, second to none? Paul's saying, hey, church, you are second to none. Paul was thrilled with the church at Corinth, even with all its problems. Hey, don't get to look around at folks and the problems that's here and dwell upon the problems. Dwell upon what Christ can do with them in overcoming them problems. Let me tell you something, dear friend. This was a church that was looking for the imminent return of Christ, too. Even from the very beginning. Verse 7, so that you've come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were waiting. Dear friend, are you really concerned that Christ could come back at any moment in your life? He could come back while you're cheating on a test at school. He could come back while you're cutting the time that you should be working for your employer. He could come back while you and your children are having words. He could come back while you're not being obedient and kind and respectful to your parents like you should be. He could come back whenever you should be paying attention to those in a position of authority, that such as giving a lecture at school or even here at the church, your Sunday school teacher, you're over at the Discovery Club. He could come back, dear friend, while you're acting up over there. Hey, he could come back at any moment and you could be doing anything. I hope you're serving God. Friend, they was concerned. Paul was concerned for him too, because look in verse 8. He said, who shall also confirm you unto the end that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, hey, listen. Paul was concerned that they'd have absolutely nothing interfering with their joy if Christ was to come back at that moment. Oh, dear friend, understand something. If he could come back at any moment, you and I ought to be careful and weary and aware of our surroundings. I wouldn't even want to be caught in the wrong surroundings when he comes back. Wrong attitude, wrong nothing, wrong with a situation where there's something between me and a friend. I wouldn't listen, nothing. I don't want nothing to be, an idle word coming out of our mouth. When he comes back. Can you imagine? In the moment, twinkling of the eye, there we are. And the last part of that sentence or syllable would be coming out right in his face. That's how fast it's going to be. You know what a twinkling of eye is? You could be saying a bad word and the front part come out here and the rest of it come out up there right in Christ's face. Oh, dear friend. Don't think and say, well, I'll get it all right whenever, but right before it happens. Are you serious? We don't know when it's going to happen. And they were looking for it back then. Paul was concerned that they'd be not blameless. Why? Because of verse number 9. God is faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, dear friend, I love fellowships. Ladies, y'all are probably the best cooks on this side of heaven. And when we get to heaven, during that 7 years of tribulation, when everything's going down crazy around here and God's getting up and fixing up on the Jews and getting them in order, and when we're sitting around that big marriage supper of the Lamb and we're there, God's liable to call y'all on up and say, hey, I smelt your food down there. Come on up and cook up here. Hey, you are good cooks. I love fellowships. But oh, dear friend, how many times is our fellowship broken with the Lord Jesus Christ? God loves and desires fellowship from you and I. He saved us for His pleasure so that we could fellowship with Him. You know what the Bible says? There's nothing I can't do, there's nothing I can't hear, but because of your life and what's in your life, you've shortened my hand to help. You've stopped up my ear that I will not hear. Not that He can't hear, because He can hear. Oh, dear friend, He hears every time we mess up and we turn to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You're faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. I'm sorry I broke that fellowship. I'm telling you, God's faithful. In all He is asking, in all our imperfections, in all of our downfalls, in all of our fleshly wickedness, all He asks is that we turn to Him and say, Lord, I can't, but here am I. Do through me what I can't do. Make me pleasing in your sight. I yield myself to you. Hey, what a beginning of a chapter of a book where the entire book was written as a rebuke. That should help us. When we do have to correct someone, we do have to straighten things out with teenagers, with husbands, with wives, with bosses, with employers, with church members. Hey, you can straighten things out with a little grace and a little peace. We don't always have to go for the jugular. We're not pit bulls. You know what we are? Just sinners saved by grace. And oh, by the grace of God, that I don't take the next step into failure. Let's stand to our feet.